left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Kept away. And Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score! Jones. Westbrook for the win. Yeah!
It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back, Hoosier fans, to another episode of Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana basketball news and analysis with occasional bits of nostalgia mixed in for good measure. I am your host, Jared Morris, and I am joined today, as usual, by Inside the Hall founder and editor Alex Bozich, as well as a special guest, Brendan F. Quinn, who covers the Michigan basketball team for MLive.com. Brendan is going to be providing some insight from up close on the newest Hoosier graduate transfer, Max Bielefeld. Now, before we dive into that conversation, a quick reminder that Podcast on the Brink is a joint production of Inside the Hall and The Assembly Call. So to get daily updates on the latest goings-on with IU basketball, bookmark InsideTheHall.com and make it a daily stop if you do not already. And of course, you can also follow at Inside the Hall on Twitter to get regular updates. And I also encourage you to join our free Assembly Call email list, which you can do at assemblycall.com/subscribe. In addition to our regular off-season news roundup emails, we will be releasing a Top 50 Hoosiers of All Time series later this summer that you won't want to miss. Okay, now let's talk Hoosier Hoops with Brendan Quinn of MLive.com. Brendan, how are you today?
Gentlemen, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for coming on, for giving us the time. You know, I'm curious. When it
comes to talk hoops in the summertime, this is a nice change.
And that's what I wanted to actually start out with, because, you know, when it comes to Indiana sports, basketball is obviously most fans' first, second, and third priority, which means that, you know, for those of us who cover the team in any capacity, there really isn't an off season. And is it similar for you covering Michigan hoops, or does the football team and, you know, Jim Harbaugh and his shirtless antics kind of provide some cover during the off season so you can relax a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, Nick Baumgartner does most of our football stuff. Whatever falls off his table is basically what I have to catch and fall and write about when it comes to football. You know, I try to stay as far away from it as they'll allow me to. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to hoops, it really depends on the season. You know, you have an off season like this where, you know, Michigan ended its year in the Big Ten tournament. There was no NCAA tournament run. There was no kind of extra month of the season. It just ended right then and there, and it was an odd change. And then with Caris LeVert announcing he's coming back, there was no NBA draft. So, you know, you look back at last year, I'm sorry, like the 2013-14 season, when Michigan went to the Elite Eight and then had three guys in the NBA draft. You know, it was basically full tilt until this week, the week of the draft. So now I feel like I've been lazy. I'm not exactly sure what I've been doing for the last 2 months, but yeah. And here, no one cares about basketball right now. If it's not hardball, they don't. No one cares.
Yeah, you know, now the one kind of story that you did have to cover this offseason, which was a bit of a rarity itself, is the Max Bielefeld story. And he is the rare intra-conference transfer that's going from, you know, one Big Ten team to another, which is something we don't see very often. And you followed the situation really closely, particularly his recruitment after it was determined he was going to transfer. Kind of walk us through that process, and how surprised were you that he ended up at Indiana?
I was very surprised. Say that first. I was very surprised that he ended up at Indiana. I think the Iowa State situation definitely played into that. He really liked Iowa State, liked the fit there, liked the college. If you remember, you know, the same way that he has played at Indiana, he has seen that environment. He's also played at Hilton Coliseum, you know, a great, great building for anyone that's been there. Kind of, it's a little similar to an Assembly Hall type place in terms of that nostalgia in the air, a historic building, a rocking place, great students, great fans. You know, Michigan played out there 2 years ago as a top 10 team, and so he was there, and he saw it. So he really liked that place. And then with Fred Hoiberg's kind of, you know, being on the line there. Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Max waited all that out. And then when he finally announced that he was going to the league, I think that really made Indiana a real player, or potentially the top choice, leapfrogging Iowa State. So, yeah, I mean, he played out. He took his visits, initially, when we look back and it became clear that Michigan was definitely not bringing him out, people continued to think that that Beilein was going to have a change of heart or whatever. That was never really on the table at all. So when it became clear that he was going to be moving on, everyone immediately thought of Bradley, DePaul, the Chicago area schools. He's from Peoria. So those were the natural fits if he wanted to do that. But really, I mean, Max didn't need to do that. There's no real reason for him to go home. I think he wanted to go to the place that has the best chance of making a run in the tournament, that can give him some minutes. So that ended up being Indiana. I was surprised Indiana got involved. But obviously with all of the roster movement there, you know, the need for bodies became pretty prevalent. So it became a natural fit, I guess, in the end of the day, as surprising as it was.
Hey, Brendan, Alex Bozich here. Just following up on something you said there I thought was interesting. It was never really an option for Michigan to bring him back. I think that's the kind of the most common question I'm getting from IU fans is why exactly did he not come back to Michigan? I think there's obviously some recruiting things, you know, the Jaylen Brown situation, Kenny Williams, mm-hmm. I know were two guys that they targeted. But given, you know, he played a pretty decent role there last year. He's an experienced guy. I think Michigan's going to, you know, obviously going to be a team that's going to make the tournament again this next coming season. I'm just curious kind of your insight as to why there wasn't an interest in bringing him back.
The answer is probably twofold here. One, Beilein only plays one big man at a time. As you guys know, anyone who's watched Michigan, they do not play two bigs together. And he wants those minutes to go to his young bigs. He wants it to be Ricky Doyle and Mark Donnell and DJ Wilson getting minutes, being on the floor. And by having Max there, I feel like it would almost be, you know, too easy of a crutch, you know, to not have those guys out there. When you know you can get those reliable minutes from Max, you know, why let a DJ Wilson learn on the fly? So I really think he wanted to free up the spot for just those young guys to really kind of fight for it between themselves. And secondly, I think, yeah, he definitely wanted to open up a scholarship to build, to maybe flesh out the roster when it comes to scholarship allotment. Having a fifth-year senior would just kind of hold that spot. Now, in hindsight, this has not worked out because they have not filled that roster spot. But I think in theory, you know, once upon a time when he was looking over the horizon, Beilein wanted to get someone else in this class because he has right now a seven-man sophomore class. So you need younger guys. You need younger bodies to start filling in the bottom of this roster that they just don't have. That was the thought, I think, when it comes to the scholarship. Now, none of that has really come to fruition. So might have got bit a little bit in the end here on that. But even if, because he wants those minutes to go to those young guys, and he said from day one, he told Max before last year that he was going to be reclassified to a senior and was not going to come and play a fifth year. And I don't think he was just going to flip on that just for the heck of it. So I really think it all boils down to that.
Hmm. Well, at least he was up front with him about it. I mean, it sounds like
this was not him pushing him out the door. That definitely was not the case.
And it doesn't seem like there's any animosity on either side, too. I mean, it seems, you know, like he's leaving in good spirits and, you know, like all of that is on the up and up, so.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he wanted to come back, or at least wanted the option. And I think he was a little bit disappointed to not even have it as a consideration. After playing 4 years, and more importantly, you know, it's got to be a little bitterness, you know, left in the taste buds there when it comes to he was injured for so long in his basketball career. You know, he missed out on so many years of minutes and being able to play and getting out there for some what were great Michigan teams he was just never healthy. And he finally got healthy after that hip surgery between his junior and senior years, and suddenly really showed what he could do. I mean, he wasn't the most athletic guy. He wasn't the most skilled guy, but he had enough that he could contribute and give Michigan really good minutes. And he just had to wait for 3 years to get to that point.
So what can he do? This is a good segue into the next part of this topic, which is what kind of player is Indiana getting? You know, I mean, obviously he's a big guy, he's a bulky guy, but, you know, how big is he really? How skilled is he? What can IU fans expect from Max next year?
You know, I was doing this today, I sat down and I was trying to think of an Indiana comparison for you guys, and I'm no Indiana basketball expert, and I couldn't even come up with one. I mean, he's very much 6'8". Broad-shouldered, you know, his nickname here was Moose, and it's apt. So he's a bruising guy, really knows how to use his body and, like, create his own space down there. I think that really helps him make up for not being 6'10 or 6'11, is he's really good between the blocks at creating space for himself. You know, he moves his hips. He knows how to clear out some territory for defensive rebounds, for putbacks on the offensive end. I don't think you can run too much offense through him, as much as John Beilein loves to put a big man high in the post and run a lot of his offense through him or run him off of high screens. Max was really, his ceiling there was kind of probably on pick and rolls. But he does have good enough hands that when he is on the block and you have a really super point guard, who can penetrate through, obviously Yogi, who can get the ball into the paint, that drop down pass that you want to have an option of, you know, Max can catch and convert all day. He's got good soft hands, knows how to score, looks to score, is aggressive. He won't catch it and look like a deer in the headlights. He wants to shoot the ball. He wants to score the ball. Sometimes he can probably get a little bit trigger happy when it comes to shooting, but it was never a detriment. There was never any like moans and groans, you know, when he would catch the ball open on the perimeter or anything like that. You know, he can knock down the three if he has a clear look at it. So he's just a skilled veteran big guy. I mean, he's one of those guys that if you need him to play 30 because of injuries or whatever, you know, he'll play 30 minutes. That doesn't, you know, leave fans, you know, clawing their eyes out after the game or anything like that. He can play. I think he's a lot better probably than most people think. So, and at the same time, he can give you 5 good minutes and 5 good fouls. You know, so he proved it last year that he can run in the Big Ten. He's not a game changer. He's not a guy that you circle as this is a difference that will get us to the NCAA tournament, you know, but he's a good option to have, especially on a team that really has a lot of nice pieces at Indiana.
You mentioned his injuries. What is it? Was that something that was, how much did that hamper his development? And also another question that we get commonly, and I think Max actually tweeted something about this a couple weeks ago, about his height. I guess he's asked about a lot. You know, there's people that are saying that he's only 6'7", he's 6'8". I don't know how much it really matters, but I guess kind of what your understanding there on how tall he actually really is.
Yeah, 6'7" or 6'8", I mean, is there really a difference? But he's not taller than that. He's not taller than that. He's not shorter than that. He is 6'7", or he is 6'8". For sure. I mean, he's not going to tower anyone. He's not a shot blocker. He's not that guy. But like I said, you know, he's big and broad, and he can get rebounds because he's big and broad and knows how to use his body. And what was the first question? Oh, was his injuries.
Just injuries, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was something that kind of started in high school, if my understanding is correct, that it bothered him, and then he got to Michigan, and he had one injury his freshman year, and you know what? I'm sorry, I'm blanking on exactly what it was. But then the hip problem started, and he played through the hip, and it really bothered him for a long time. It sidelined him. It created, you know, he wasn't even able to be a practice player. Limited his minutes. And they were just trying to figure out, you know, what to do with it, if it's something that would go away and he could play, or if they needed to, you know, put him on the shelf. And eventually, that's what they had to do. So they went in and had a surgery on his hip last offseason that essentially went in and chiseled down a portion of the bone. I guess for flexibility reasons, that like ball and joint type deal, they had to kind of clear that up for him. And that's actually what Spike Albrecht has had this summer, or this offseason, I mean, both of his hips. Max was basically laid up with that hip surgery. And when we talked to him early this year, and he had some nice early season games, and people kind of, you know, slid back in their seats saying, oh man, look at, you know, he had like 18 points in one game, and it was just, it looked like a different guy, was moving so well and getting up and down the floor. And we talked to him after a game, and he said, you know, this is the best I have ever felt. I wish I had done it earlier. So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely a hindrance for a long time.
I'm curious about your thoughts on his mentality as both a player and a teammate. You know, he's got 1 year left. He experienced some success last year playing his first real meaningful minutes. And when you look at Indiana's roster, obviously not having Hunter Mascara-Prey and Devin Davis anymore opens up the opportunity for minutes for him. Yet, you know, probably not going to be a starter with Thomas Bryant being there. Mm-hmm. You know, and a guy like Emmett Holt may even be, you know, first off the bench in terms of a big guy. How do you think he will fit in, you know, in terms of he's a new guy, but he's experienced. He's only got 1 year left to make a splash. Is he a guy that will accept a role if it's only 5 to 10 minutes? Or do you think he might, I don't know, get impatient as the season goes along if he's not getting more minutes?
You know, I think he knows what he's smart enough to know what he's walking into. And, you know, Max is a good dude. He was well liked by his teammates. There were no problems at Michigan that I know of or anything like that. I think he really embraced the idea of being last year's only senior. He likes leading a team. He likes being a guy that guys can kind of look up to a little bit. But he's also not a vocal. He's not the rah-rah, you know, come jump on my shoulders, boys. He's not that. He's kind of, you know, his demeanor and all that kind of matches up with his game. You know, it's just a steady guy. I think he'll walk in there and embrace the idea of trying to, you know, make Indiana be as good of an NCAA tournament team as it can be. I really think that that's always, you know, when you get a kid who comes out of the Michigan program, you know, there's good kind of mojo in that locker room at Michigan. There's you know, there's been ups and downs, obviously, but it's not, you know, it's not the patients running the asylum by any means. It's a collection of pretty good level-headed guys in there. So I think that's exactly what Max will bring to Indiana.
You know, and the Indiana Michigan rivalry is one that has, you know, it's been, I don't know if it's necessarily been chippy on the court as much, but certainly there's been some issues between the coaches over the last few years. You know, is him being here, is that something that, you know, that you think on the court, you know, will he have that kind of extra motivation when playing Michigan? You know,
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. And I also think that it probably bugs the Michigan coaches
that he came to Indiana.
No doubt in my mind. I'm not speaking for them. I haven't had anyone, you know, text me ranting and raving or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, knowing those guys, they're probably upset that he decided to stay in the conference and then to go to Indiana of all places. You know, like if he went to Nebraska was an option. I think if he went to Nebraska, people would be a little bit irked, like, really, you're staying in the Big Ten, but it's Nebraska, so who cares, you know? Like, they don't even feel like a Big Ten basketball team.
Yeah.
But Indiana, I mean, yeah, that's definitely going to irk some people, for sure.
So let me ask you about the transfer rules, because obviously they're different for a graduate transfer. Could they have blocked him from coming to Indiana if they'd wanted to?
You know what? That's a good question. I mean, he had to file for a waiver, I know. I think you need the Big Ten's blessing.
Hmm.
If Michigan wanted to block on a fifth year, I don't think you could.
And regardless, I don't think Michigan wouldn't. I mean, Beilein wouldn't do that. Not for Max Bielefeld. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it were a different situation, if it were a different kid, Evan Smatra, who transferred to Maryland last year, if Maryland had been in the Big Ten at the time, I think John would have blocked it. But Max Bielefeld, as a fifth-year player who graduated, you know, who did his job, and who did not put up a fuss about the whole reclassification thing, I don't see Beilein blocking that at all.
Moving on here a little bit past Bielefeld, just to kind of ask you about Michigan at large going into next season. Obviously, it was last season a setback. You had the injuries to Caris LeVert, Derek Walton, both of those guys expected to be healthy next season. Just in general, what's kind of the outlook there and the expectations for the team heading into next season?
Yeah, I think Michigan's kind of in that Indiana, you know, spot of right in the mix of that probably, you know, 3-5 range. And if you're 3-5 in the Big Ten next year, you're probably going to be a pretty darn good team. I definitely, obviously, you know, you're talking Maryland, maybe Michigan State there at that number two spot. Michigan has a lot of nice pieces. For the first time, they have old talent. The last few years, they're great teams. It was all young talent. It was all underclassmen. But this time coming back, it's LeVert as a senior. It's Albrecht as a senior. It's Walton and Irvin as juniors. You haven't really seen that. So, you know, in terms of a pretty complicated system that Beilein has running here, there will be a lot less early season figuring it out. You know, guys learning roles, guys learning the system. There's so much read and react stuff built into that offense that it can take a minute. And you really saw it last year. This group really, really struggled in the early season. You know, everyone talks about how last year was derailed by LeVert and Walton going down. Well, this team lost to NJIT and Eastern Michigan and was absolutely backhanded at home by SMU. They weren't good. They were not good early in the season, even with those guys healthy. But next year coming back, you know, if LeVert is really back, we don't get in to see workouts or anything like that. If he's at the level that he was playing at when he got injured, he was really starting to kind of come into his own at that point, into more of that Nick Stauskas create, shoot, distribute role. If he's at that level and if Walton is healthy, I think Michigan's a top 25 team. I think it's a team that goes into the season with the second weekend of the NCAA tournament as the goal. That's the level that this team, I think, should be at.
In terms of the Big Ten at large, I mean, you've been around the conference for a while now. Is this as good, you think, going into a season as you've seen the Big Ten, top to bottom?
I think it's as good at the top. I definitely think it's going to be a top-heavy league. I think there's going to be a pretty clear line of demarcation from basically, you know, that top group downward. The bottom of the league is going to be pretty bad. Penn State is going to be really bad. Nebraska is going to be really bad. Minnesota is going to be, I don't even know who's on the team at this point. So that, you know, that basement of the conference is going to be pretty rough. So, but those games in between the teams in that top group, I think it has the chance to be a really, really entertaining season. Like, you know, that Indiana-Purdue this year is going to be pretty awesome. Michigan State-Michigan is going to be pretty awesome. Everyone's kind of sleeping on Ohio State, but they're dangerous. They got some talent. They probably have the best freshman class in the league from what I see. I don't know. I mean, those are rankings and things like that for whatever that's worth. But, when Ohio State, with a great Ohio State recruiting class, is kind of in the rearview mirror of the league, I think that shows you how good the top of the conference is going to be.
You know, and you mentioned that Michigan and Indiana are both, they both kind of seem to be in that 3-5 range. Do you, are you putting Maryland and Michigan State as the top kind of the class of the Big Ten? Are those the teams that you think are 1 and 2 heading into it?
Yeah, I would think so. That Michigan State, I mean, obviously, if they had Swanigan, yes, they would. I think they would definitely be the clear number two team in the league. Now there's maybe a little room for argument there, but you know, you still have a team that's led by Denzel Valentine coming off of a Final Four appearance. They're pretty good. There's a lot of nice pieces, and then Eron Harris, who everyone forgets about, might be one of the best scorers in the league next year. He averaged, what, 17 a game at West Virginia, and has now been sitting on the shelf for a year up in East Lansing. I think he's going to really be one of the elite scorers. Losing Dawson and Trice, it hurts. That's not the end of the world. That's a really, really good team. I mean, they won 27, 28 games last year, something like that. Yeah, and then once you get past that, Indiana, Purdue, Michigan, and Wisconsin, that's going to be a jumbled group. And I don't know who's going to finish where in that group. And then you have Ohio State and everyone else. That's how I kind of map it out right now. It's basically semantics. I think when you try to talk about Purdue and Indiana and Michigan and all of them, one of the hardest questions I have is if Indiana lives up to their talent level. When I see what has happened in the 2 years that I've been up here since I came from Tennessee, on a weekly basis, can Indiana live up to its talent? Can Purdue play through its bigs the way it's going to have to? Can Michigan actually, figure it all out when it comes to its guard play and get over what's basically seen as a huge hole in the interior? And then you have Wisconsin. And is Wisconsin again? I assume so. Until proven otherwise, I assume Wisconsin's going to be pretty damn good. So we'll see. But, yeah, after Maryland, you could probably make an argument for anyone, but I would probably put Michigan State in that 2 spot as of today.
I know Wisconsin's interesting because you get the feeling that Bo Ryan could throw the three of us out there with Koenig and Nigel Hayes and still finish in the top four in the conference.
Exactly.
Hey,
if you question Wisconsin, then you get what's coming to you at this point.
Yeah, well, and you haven't been following the conference for the last decade. So, last question for you, Brendan, and it's probably too big of a question to answer in the couple minutes that we have left. But you mentioned your history. You came from covering Tennessee, which is an athletic department that just seems to be in constant disarray. What's that transition been like going from the disarray of Tennessee to the relative stability of covering Michigan?
Well, now it's relative stability.
Yeah.
Like the last couple months. Before that, it was one circus to another. It was like Barnum was in Knoxville and Bailey was in Ann Arbor. So, because when I was in Tennessee, it was the end of the Derek Dooley era. They hired Butch Jones, the athletic department. It was just every day there was an arrest or something else going on. The basketball program was trying to run out Conzo Martin when I was still there. The women's athletic department was basically being phased into the men's athletic department, which was like just a huge deal down there. It's such a proud women's athletic department. They're dropping the Lady Vols brand. It's just idiocy.
Oh, my.
Wall to wall. So, and there's an Alabama guy as the athletic director, which just throws the ultimate wrench into the whole thing. So
that'd be like a Buckeye running Michigan's athletic department.
Pretty much. I mean, where everyone's like, yeah, he's a mole. He's trying to bring down Tennessee. I'm like, no one cares enough about Tennessee to send a mole to take down an athletic department that has plenty of pride in ruining itself, apparently. So then coming up, Michigan, if I walked right into the Brady Hoke saga and the Dave Brandon saga, that now, just now, I think that this place is starting to get its footing underneath it. The athletic director, however, is still an interim athletic director. How long is Jim Hackett going to be there? That's still a large question that's hanging out here. And when he's gone, from what I see, there is no obvious, AD in waiting. it could end up being an internal promotion. I don't know if they're going to run a full search. So there's still a major question mark there. And I think while Dave Brandon proved that he could raise money with the best of them, he also proved to be very blind to what a lot of people saw as very important things and put some things in priority status that did not need to be priorities. And there was a large disconnect with everyone. That's at the end of the day, that's what that situation creates. Anyone who's covered athletic departments knows that when you don't have an AD that's on board with everyone else, the sense of disconnect can really start to grow really rapidly. And that's what happened up here.
Yeah. Well, and now they have to find an AD who can coexist with Jim Harbaugh, which is a challenge in and of itself.
I couldn't even fathom. That's the thing. They might as well just let – I mean, if you're going to have Harbaugh, you might as well just let him pick the AD then.
You kind of have to. Well, Brennan, thank you so much for coming on. This was great insight on Max, and we always love just talking Big Ten hoops. So we appreciate it. And how can folks follow you on Twitter? Are you active on Twitter, I assume?
I am on the Twitter, yes.
On the Twitter.
It's at BF Quinn.
Okay.
You can't miss it. It's a picture of me being taunted by the Michigan State student section.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on. And to everybody who listened, we appreciate you listening. And we will be back next week with another brand new episode of Podcast on the Brink. Have a good one, everybody.